Okay, this week's Parsha double, Parshas HaChremos and Kedoshim. So we'll start with a very interesting idea. We have in this week's Parsha, Perek Tes Zayin, Posuk, Vav, and it Ches and Tes, it tells us about the Shnei HaSeirim, the two goats that are taken, right, in the Avoda of Yom HaKippurim. Right, we know two identical goats, same, they cost the same amount, they look very similar, they're the same height, and the Kohen goes ahead and the Kohen does a lottery. And one of them goes to Azazel, and the other is taken and into the Beis HaMikdash, shechted, and used to sprinkle its blood in by the Parochas, by the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now imagine if these two goats actually had a consciousness and the ability, intellect, to look at their situations. So imagine the Kohen comes out, two identical goats, the Kalfi falls on one of the goats, and he goes ahead, it's led into the Beis HaMikdash, by the Kodesh Kadashim, it's shechted, and its blood is sprinkled. The other goat is thinking, ha, poor guy, man, he got the short end of the stick, I won this lottery. Especially when they start taking him, leading him out of the Beis HaMikdash. Hey, I'm free! And they lead him to a beautiful mountain range. Look at this, they did me on the scenic tour. And of course we know, at the top of Azazel, there that goat meets its ignoble end as it is shoved off of the cliff to break into parts as it crashes on its way down the mountain into the valley below. Right? Really, it was the goat which was shechted and blood sprinkled in the Beis HaMikdash on the holiest day of the year that was the winner of that lottery. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch points out, we learn from here the power of misconceptions. Right? You could go ahead, you could think the other guy has it so good. He's so lucky. Oh, if only I would go ahead. If only I had that. If only I were able to do that. But the truth of the matter is, it's all a misconception. Hashem has a plan for each and every person, each and every being, each and every animal. And every single thing has its tachlis, has its purpose. You know, often we see people, later we're going to talk about not taking revenge, but sometimes we go ahead and it's, I believe it was the great Rebbe of Kutsk, Rav Menachem Mendel of Kutz, the Kutzker, said, if everybody has their own pekala, everyone has their own baggage, we always look at the other guy and we think, wow, if only I was living that life, that guy's living the best life. But the truth is, if everybody took their pekala, their baggage, and put it on the table, he says he's pretty sure everybody would choose to keep their own baggage, their own pekala. In other words, sometimes we have misconceptions. It looks so good for that goat. He's going free. He's going out only to crash in the valley below. You have to keep a certain perspective. That's Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, a very cute idea. There's another very interesting idea in this week's parsha, and this is in Perek Yud Zayin, and the pasuk is telling us about the halachas of the shchutei chutz. If somebody would bring a sacrifice, someone would shecht an animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash and its environs. So the pasuk goes ahead and tells us that this is a terrible avera. So much so, if you go ahead and do shchut echutz, you shecht outside, that person is going to be v'nichrasa. He is going to be cut off from the Jewish people. But not only to say he's going to go ahead and be cut off from the Jewish people, but it goes ahead and it tells us, the pasuk says, "Ve'el Pesach ol Moed lo heviu lahakriv karban l'Hashem lifnei Mishkan Hashem dam yichashev l'ish hahu dam shafach." It's like he went ahead and spilled blood. V'nichras ha'ishahu mikerav amo, and he'll be cut off from amongst his people. So, number one, he's going to be kares. Hashem's going to cut him off. Number two, it's like he's a murderer. Rav Nechemya Kornhauser asks, Rav Nechemya Kornitzer asks, what is going on here? What is so bad about what, okay, I understand. He brought a carbon outside the base of Mikdash. But he's going to be kareis? And it's like he's shofet dam? It's like he's a murderer? What did this guy murder? What did he do so terrible? And he says something so insightful, so interesting. He says, you know what he did? This animal had the ability to be brought as a carbon in front of Hashem. This animal had the ability to go ahead and to be uplifted, to be Mekadosh. The potential of this animal could have been fulfilled and could have been realized by bringing it as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Instead, it was desecrated, by disqualified, by being brought outside the Beis HaMikdash. This person destroyed the potential of that animal, of to be that Reach Nichoach in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, if this is what we find by an animal, that we're punished, and how negatively it's viewed for not allowing an animal to reach its potential as a carbon, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so, people, when we go ahead, we have children, or a friend, to go ahead, when we stand in the way of others from reaching their potential, whether it's through our influence or whatever the situation, imagine how much greater the avon, how much greater the sin. And by the way, he says, this is why a little later on, it says that this idea of shchut echutz, this is for all generations, right? Chukas olam ledorosam. It's for all generations. What do you mean all generations? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash forever. We have karbanos today? No. But that's the point. It's not just talking about a karban. It's talking about an idea. That idea being never stand in the way of somebody else fulfilling their potential, but not just somebody else, ourselves. When we go ahead and when we don't reach our potential, in a way, it's a form of murdering ourselves, of killing ourselves. We are literally killing our potential. People say killing time. That's right. When you're wasting time, you're not killing time, you're killing yourself. You're taking precious moments that could be used to fulfill potential, and instead we're going ahead and we're wasting it, we're destroying it. An interesting idea. There's another beautiful idea of Rav Sacks, Zichrono Livracha. Rav Sacks will jump over one more in Parshas Achremos. This is a very powerful idea, especially right now. We just finished Yom Hatzma'ut. Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Gimel. The Pasuk tells us as follows. Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. This is the Kli Yakar. This is, this is the beauty, at least my favorite, for Parshas Achremos. The Pasuk says, Pasuk Gimel, Kimase Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtem Ba Lo Ta'asu. Like the actions in Eretz Mitzrayim, where you had settled, Lo Ta'asu. Shall you not do? Ukemas eretz Kanaan asher ani mevi eschem, right? Shama lo taasu uvechukosehem lo telechu, right? Twice we have this in the ways of the Egyptians. Lo taasu, you shall not do, and in the practices of the Canaanites, the Canaan that I'll bring you to, which is what's Canaan Eretz Yisrael. Also, you shall you not do. Two times we have lo ta'asu, lo ta'asu. What is the lo ta'asu kimase? Don't do kimase. What is the lo ta'asu? What is this lo ta'asu? That it seems like redundant to say once. No, don't do like the Egyptians. Don't do like the Canaanim. What is so different about the actions of the Egyptians and the actions of the Canaanite that we have to go ahead and that it has to write it two separate prohibitions? What's going on here? The Kli Yakar says something awesome. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us what happened in Egypt. Do you realize, Chazal teach us, during Makas Bechoros, 80% of the Jews died during Makas Bechoros because they didn't want to live. They didn't want to leave Mitzrayim. They'd grown comfortable. Yeah, they're throwing Jewish babies in the Nile. But what do we want to go ahead? We want to trek into the desert. We have food. At least we have water. as bad as things are here, why do we want to go? Let's stay. 80%! Hashem took them out. Hashem killed them in Makas Choshech. So the Mitzrim wouldn't see. The Kli Yakar says, that is the first Lo Ta'asu K'ma'aseh. Don't do like Mitzrayim. Don't do like what the Jewish people did in Mitzrayim. Don't become complacent. Don't become settled in a place where you shouldn't be settled. Don't think that you are a Toshav, a settler, when you are in Gullus, when you are in a foreign land. That's number one. And the second Lo Ta'asu, don't do what, like in Eretz Canaan. What happened to Eretz Canaan? The Meraglim came, even though Hashem promised us Eretz Yisrael. And Kalev and Yeshua, two of the greatest tzaddikim, the greatest men of the Jewish people, said, it's going to be incredible. But instead, you listened to the Meraglim. Instead, you went ahead and you did not want to go. You cried. You wailed. You went back to your tents and cried and said, Kibesinas Hashem Osan Otsiyano Eretz Yisrael. We don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. We don't want this. That's what is the reference to of Lo Ta'asu. Don't do it. Don't do these two things. Number one, don't become comfortable in a foreign land. That's the Egypt Lo Ta'asu. And the Canaan, the Lo Ta'asu, is don't reject Eretz Yisrael. This is so important today, as we're just finishing Yom HaTzmaut, to realize the bracha, the unbelievable nisim and the flos that God did for us in these last 100 years, literally, to take us from the brink of extermination and to give us our old country where we all stood outside and watched planes flying over. Our planes, our Air Force, the Israeli Air Force. It's mind-boggling, the first time in 1900 years. We can't make the same mistakes. No matter where we are in the world, no matter where we live, we can't make the same mistake we made in Mitzrayim, the Kli Yakar says, right? Where they got comfortable, where they said, let's stay here. And we can't make the same mistake as we made in Canaan when we said, who needs this land? I wish we were back there. To recognize the tremendous gift that Hashem gave us. Now we move over to Parshas Kedoshim. And in Parshas Kedoshim, I'd just like to start with a beautiful idea of Rav Sacks, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. It says in Parak, Yud Tes, Pasuk Beis, one of the most famous psukim in all of Parshas, in all of Sefer Vayikra even. It goes out and tells us, Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Speak to the entire congregation of Israel. V'amarta lehem, kidoshim tiyu. You shall be holy. Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because I, Hashem, your God, are kadosh. Rav Sacks points out, as only he could, there's something very fundamental and different about this pasuk. We know Sefer Vayikra has another name. Every Sefer in the Torah does. Sefer Vayikra, the other name of Sefer is Toras Kohanim. It's called Toras Kohanim because Vayikra deals with so many of the halachos that apply to a Kohen. In fact, in these parshas until now, it was pretty much all the halachos dealing with Kohanim. And now, we could read these parshios and think, look, all these rules, all these laws, it's the Kohanim, it's the priests. By the way, that's how it is in other religions. Yeah, spirituality, these rules and laws, it's for the priests. Literally, they're priests. The church. Here is where Judaism, this pasuk, differs from all other world religions. It's not just the Kohanim that the mitzvahs apply to. It's not just the Kohanim who can have a relationship with the divine, with HaKadosh Baruch, with Hashem. Kedoshim Tiyu. This is Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Bring everybody in. Every man, woman, and child. Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Kedoshim Tiyu. Not just Kohanim. But each and every Jew has the ability to be an ambassador of the divine in this world, to bring God's light throughout this world. As I've mentioned before, only a certain family can be a priest, can be a Kohen. Only if you're from a certain family can you be a Kohen. Only from a certain family can you be a king. Malchus Beis David. But the crown of Torah is open to every single Jew. Every single Jew. There are no exclusions. And this is the pasuk that charges us. Kedoshim Tiyu. The same mitzvahs that apply to Moshe Rabbeinu apply to you and I. And we have the same ability to connect Hashem and to connect to his Hashem's Torah. That is a beautiful idea. Now let me give you one last idea. And this is such an important, important idea. And it's in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yud Zayin. And the Pasuk talks about the obligation to give rebuke, to give Musar. If you see your friend doing something wrong, you have an obligation to rebuke him, to tell him what he's doing wrong. The Pasuk says, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Lotisna sachika bilvavecha, you can't hate your friend in your heart. Hocheach tochiach es amisecha. You have to go ahead and you have to reprove your fellow. Right? And then it says, Lotisa alav chait, and did not bear a sin because of him. Hocheach tochiach es amisecha. You have to rebuke, you have to give musar. Lotisa alav chait, because you're not allowed to let him sin. So we have to go ahead, and you have to give him musar. Rashi says, we have to be incredibly careful about how we do this. In fact, Rashi says, if you can only do it in a way that will, the rebuke, the reprove, the tochacha, if it will cause embarrassment to your friend, then don't do it. You're not allowed to embarrass him while doing it. Rav Avram Shor has an incredible idea in this pasuk. When it tells us, Hocheach tochiach es amisecha, lotisa alav chayt. Lotisa alav chayt is not telling us not to let him sin. But lotisa alav chayt can also be translated, lotisa, do not place a love upon him, chayt, the sin. Figuratively, literally, it's saying, oh, don't let him sin. But literally, it could be taken as, lotisa alav, don't place upon him, chait the sin. Rav Avram Shor Shlita tells us, it is giving us a direction on how we do, hocheach tochiach, es amisecha. How is it that you go ahead, and how can you give someone musar? How can you do it when we know you can't embarrass him? You have to be so sensitive, so careful. So how can you possibly do it? He says, the Pasuk is telling us how. Lotisa alav chayt. Don't pick the sin up over him. What does that mean, lotisa, don't pick the sin up over him? That means don't say, oh my God, you did that? I can't believe you. Holy, how could you do that? That's a horrible thing. How could you do this? You ate where? You watched what? You went there? Oh my God, it's disgusting. Don't pick up the sin. Don't make the sin big. And in the process, make the person small, feel small and insignificant. Make him feel like garbage. No. The proper way to do kochacha is to pick the person up over the sin. Somebody like you, somebody as chashev, as great, somebody who spent such a year growing, striving to become a Ben Torah, to go to such a place like that is beneath you. You're so way beyond that. You're so much bigger than that. You are so much better than that. Don't pick up lotisa alavche. Don't pick the sin up over. But put the sin has to be beneath. You have to pick up the person. And I just end with the story. It's an amazing story told over by Rabbi Riskin. He should be well. The founder and chief rabbi of Ephrat was the Rav of the Lincoln Square Shul for many years and founder of Lincoln Square Shul. And he told a story that he was speaking in Florida. It was at one of those retirement communities, and he was speaking about Shabbos. And when he was speaking about Shabbos, he mentioned a story he had heard about the Chafetz Chaim, a guy who was caught smoking in the Chafetz Chaim's yeshiva in Radin on Shabbos. And before he left the yeshiva, the Chafetz Chaim asked to speak to him. And they say that after the Chafetz Chaim spoke to this person, this young man, he was never Michal Shabbos again. So he said, imagine there's something the Chafetz Chaim could say, some insight, some idea about Shabbos that was so powerful that the person was never Michal Shabbos again. And he goes on, he finishes the speech, and he says he's walking out, and people walk up to him, very nice, thank you for the speech. And as he's walking past an old man who's just sitting there. The old man grabs his arm and says, tell me, where did you hear that speech? He says, I heard from him. He says, tell me, who told you? Who told you that story? Where do you hear that story from? Where do you hear this story? He says, I don't. The old man says, you want to know what the Chafetz Chaim said to that boy? He says, it was me. And he told Rabbi Riskin the following. He told Rabbi Riskin that he was a very prodigy. Because back then, maybe one, maybe two kids from a shtetl, from a town, got to go to go on to Yeshiva Gedolah. Otherwise, you went to work. You became an apprentice, a carpenter. That's it. Straight. He says, I was very bright. I was chosen to go on. But I didn't really want to. I didn't really feel it. But what could I do? My parents were so proud. Okay. I figured I heard tremendous things about the Chafetz Chaim, the Gedolah Ador. I'll go to his yeshiva. Took the train there. I got there on Erev Shabbos. I went to the rabbi who told me where I'd be sleeping. And I made my way over to davening Friday night. But I was stressed out from the trip. I walked into the woods. And as I said, I went for my parents. I didn't really have the feeling for it. I lit up a cigarette. I'm smoking. I hear branches breaking behind me, and there the rabbi who I came from the yeshiva told me where I was staying. He sees me with the cigarette Friday night smoking. My eyes and his eyes meet, and I know immediately this is the shortest stay in the Chafetz Chaim's yeshiva in Radin. That Motzei Shabbos, I'm going to leave that Saturday night. He comes right after Shabbos and he says, listen, before you leave, the Chafetz Chaim wants to speak to you. I said, no, I just want to get out of here. He says, do what you want, the Chafetz Chaim. I spoke to him. He wants to see you. The guy says, as the old man says, he tells Rabbi Riskin, as he's walking over, he's like so nervous because he learned through the Mishnah Berurah. The Chafetz Chaim, in his mind, he's a giant. He's living in a palace. The first thing he's shocked, it's a little house. Not only that, he gets to the house has no floor. There was no floor in the Chafetz Chaim's house. Dirt. He comes to the room. His mom is shaking. He's so scared. The door opens, he walks in, and there, instead of a giant, the Chafetz Chaim was a tiny man, very small. They close the door behind him, he says he's frozen. The Chafetz Chaim walks up to him, takes his hands in his Chafetz Chaim's hands. He looks up into my eyes. You want to know what he said? No idea, no speech. Two words. Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh. And as the Chafetz Chaim saying the word Shabbos Kodesh, tears well up in the Chafetz Chaim's eyes. He starts to cry and they start dripping down his face. And the old man Riskin says is rubbing his hand like the tears just freshly fell on his hand. Shabbos Kodesh over and over again. The Holy Shabbos, two words, spoken with such love, such sincerity, the man tells Rabbi Riskin, I'm not a religious man, but from that day I was never Michal Shabbos again. I sit on Shabbos, my hand starts going for the Turner, and I hear the Chafetz Chaim, Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos Kodesh. Never Michal Shabbos again. Because instead of putting him down, the Chafetz Chaim what? Picked Shabbos, the Holy Shabbos, a Yid, a Holy Shabbos, it's Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh. This is what we have to learn. Whenever we give Tochacha, if we should give Tochacha, if we know how to give it, it's only by building others up, by picking others up, picking them up over the sin, and not, God forbid, the sin over them. Have a great, great Shabbos.